Ryan Reshaga joins us after a busy Wednesday. Shager, how are you?
I'm good, good. Just finished up day two of McDavid Prospects Camp Watch.
Oh, yes. And it's riveting stuff for you, isn't it?
He keeps a messy hotel room. That's what we learned about him today, actually. I was asking him how hotel life is because, I mean, if you think about it, between the media tour leading up to the draft and then the combine, the draft itself, he's basically been living in a hotel room. And he admitted that he's not very neat and tidy in his hotel room. So his hotel room is messy. That was the
wow.
That's
excellent reporting, Rashad.
Yeah, you betcha.
Wow, we are uncovering everything. So an 18-year-old guy is messy. Whoa!
Shocker, hey?
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah. No, you know what? It was fine, and they went on the ice again today, and they did some more agility drills. We did a few more line rushes and stuff like that, and then Connor came out and had a chat with the media. He was pleasant, and it was all good. And it's funny, you know, it's going to be like this for a long time. I mean, we're going to, you know, there's going to be lots of attention on him and lots of media availabilities, and he seems willing to stand in there and do it. And just is what it is, man. We got to cover it.
The prospects, I know, I think the word tingle was used yesterday by the general manager, which is it's a great word. It's an underused word, I should say. I will say tingle is a word we don't use very often.
Yeah.
And I think
that was funny.
Everybody understands what the word means and in the context, and you know, you get a little giddy, I'm sure when he looks at those three and thinks of not necessarily in 2015-16, but down the road, the potential.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like, we've been to prospects camps before. I mean, I was there today and yesterday. You look up into the stands, and it's like you run down the flow chart of Oiler brass, and it top to bottom, they were all there. I mean, Nicholson was there, Shirelli was there, Lowe was there, Mac T. Housen, Bob Gree, everybody was there. I don't recall it being quite like that in recent years at prospect camps. So, between Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, and Connor McDavid all being at the same camp, what kind of a team is that going to look like in Penticton this year? You know, that'll be a team to be reckoned with at the rookie tournament. And it's just so much a chunk of the future all together at once going through this together. It'll be pretty cool to watch.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The moves, let's get your thoughts now a day later on the moves yesterday by Peter Chiarelli.
Well, listen, I've been entirely impressed with Chiarelli. I think that he's shown himself to be decisive. He takes action, but really smart and strategic as well. I thought their dealing on the Talbot deal was really, really smart negotiating, I think. Overall, I'm pretty impressed with the amount that he's been able to get done. And time is going to be required to really get a feel for whether these were all good moves or right moves, wrong moves, but the one thing he's not doing is sitting on his hands. And a couple general managers ago, we had to watch that happen when Steve Tambellini was here. McTavish was reasonably decisive and got his share of deals done as well, but Chiarelli seems to have an ability to identify a need and be aggressive in going and filling it. And so I see him as a guy that's got a plan A and a plan B in every situation. And that's how he just always seems to end up with something. So the moves I thought were good. I mean, Sequeira, I don't think the Oilers expected to head into free agency and spend $5.5 million on a defenseman. I don't think that was necessarily, I think maybe they felt like they could get things done through a trade. But when they weren't able to, and when the trade market wasn't great, they pivoted and ended up landing the defenseman to go get a free agency and good on him. And then the other ads were depth ads, but I think they're good depth ads. And I like the idea that they did it in both Korpikoski and Letestu. It just puts more pressure on Leon Draisaitl and Anton Lander to be better, or they're not going to have spots. And I mean, Lander will, but I like the idea of everything they've done here.
Do you see Klinkhammer having a spot on the roster next year?
Yeah, good question. It just depends how much they want to play Luke Gazdik. And we were digging in on Todd McClellan a little bit on that today. Do you need to play Luke Gazdik more regularly if you're going to have Connor McDavid in your lineup, if you're going to have Darnell Nurse in your lineup, if you're going to have, like, you don't necessarily want, you know, Nurse or Reinhardt or some of these other guys feeling like that's their job. So do you need to play Gazdik a little more often? And Todd made it clear he wants guys that can play. He's not just going to throw a plug in who can't play at all. And he's waiting to learn a little more about Gazdik here. But if Gazdik is going to be an option they go to a lot because of that, then Klinkhammer to me is the guy on the outside looking in. And then the other obvious one is Draisaitl. If Draisaitl's on the team, Klinkhammer will be in tough to be in the lineup.
Yeah, and he's a player, though, with his contract. They could send him the minors, and it doesn't even count against the cap. So, no, I think he's a player that the fact that he doesn't kill penalties, I think, really works against him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because they brought guys in that can. And you want that fourth line. I mean, you want your penalty killers sitting there, right? So Matt Hendricks is a very good penalty killer. He'll be there. And that's kind of, you know, you got to – it's like being a special teams guy in football, right? You gotta be able to bring something. And so I agree with you. I think that Korpikoski will be able to, Letestu will be able to. We'll see what McClellan wants to do as far as using his skill guys to kill penalties, if he'll ask Nugent Hopkins to have that trick in his bag, if he'll ask Taylor Hall or Pouliot, those guys, to have those tricks in their bag. I have a feeling he will. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think Leon Draisaitl to me is the one I'll be keeping such a close eye on in camp, because his ability to make this team now is much different than it was 4 or 5 days ago, 5 or 6 days ago before the draft. It really is. Like, there are bodies piled up in front of him now that he's going to have to get over. And it's not just going to be a given at all.
No, and I don't think it ever should have been that way, which is good, and it's no different on the back end. Like Darnell Nurse, who is the player who intrigues me the most. I think Connor McDavid's going to make the team. I think Draisaitl, I look and say, okay, he could make the team as a winger, and could Korpikoski maybe slide on your fourth line with Hendricks and Letestu and have Draisaitl on your third line? It's possible, although, you know, Draisaitl and Yakupov as wingers, you know, that might be tough early on. Yeah. So we'll see. But
I see Korpikoski, Letestu, and Purcell as a third line. I mean, that's kind of what I look at as a ready-made third line there.
So you have Letestu ahead of Lander automatically.
I think so. I think you have a coach who doesn't know much about Anton Lander, and I think you have Anton Lander who traditionally is a slow starter and never looks great in camp. I think the combination of those two things, he's got a one-way deal. He'll be there. But I have a feeling he could start the year on the fourth line and have to work his way up and earn it with the coach instead of just being given it, having it handed to him. Lander's not a great training camp player. He's not. I haven't been that impressed with him in any of their training camps. And I think Todd McClellan is aware of that. But still, I would slot Letestu in ahead of him to start at least training camp anyway.
That's fair. Well, there'll be some competition between the two. And, you know, I think Anton Lander last year took a really big step in the second half and proved that when given an opportunity and, just given some ice time and an opportunity, plus he matured and I think was more comfortable himself. And so now we'll see, can he be an NHL player without a head coach that loves him? He's going to have to, gain some new trust. But every player on the team, really, outside of Hall and Eberle playing a handful of games at Canada, you know, I think every player's here to try to impress the coaches, and the coach will have to understand them and gain some trust. And I don't think you will have any player who is connected at the hip like the captain and the previous head coach were.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, to be a good player, you got to be able to perform no matter who's behind the bench. And this is the point I want to make firmly about Neil Yakupov, right? People can say all they want about, well, the numbers weren't that different second half, or Neil was a different player in the second half of the year under Todd Nelson. He was. His demeanor was different. His attitude was different. He was happier. I thought he played better. Now, we had Derek Roy, some chemistry there. Regardless of what the numbers say, he was better through the second half of last season, looked more like an NHL player. But the challenge for Yakupov is you have to do that regardless of who your head coach is.
Agreed.
You need to be able to be strong enough mentally to have an absolute level that you hold yourself to no matter who's coaching you. And it can't be about, well, you know, I didn't get along with my coach and now I do, so hey, it wasn't my fault. You know, Nail needs to be responsible for Nail's play. And this coach, he's going to love this coach. Like, Todd McClellan is going to be he's a player's coach. He's a communicator. The players are going to have the same experience with him largely than they did with Todd Nelson, I believe, closer to than what they had with Dallas Eakins. So, but that goes for Draisaitl, that goes for Lander, that goes for Yakupov, all of these guys, and in particular some of the guys who had a nice turnaround under Nelson. You need to play well for whoever the head coach is, and that'll be the challenge for Yakupov, is just to maintain that level regardless of who's behind the bench. You were going to say, I interrupted you, you were going to say about Darnell Nurse, though, and his chances coming into training camp.
Yeah, he's the player that intrigues me the most, Ryan. I know, you know, conventional wisdom says, okay, you know what, you can learn in the American League and there's nothing wrong with that, and I totally agree with it. However, if he shows that he's that much better, because there's a lot of guys here that we think, okay, they can play, I'm very curious to see if they err on that or say, you know what, we got to ice the best possible roster of our team. And if Darnell Nurse, with his skating, his competitiveness, and everything else, is better than guys like Nikitin and others, then we got to keep him. And to me, that's going to be the most intriguing part of camp.
Yeah. So I'm going to make a prediction and say the Oilers hit camp with one fewer defenseman than they have right now, that either Nikitin or somebody goes, whether that's Nikitin, whether that's a Justin Schultz trade, whatever that looks like. I think they're going to have one left defenseman. Darnell Nurse, I agree with you. I mean, he's the kind of player who he might just bowl his way onto this line, into this lineup. He might. I mean, he just the raw skill, the power, the ability, in training camp, he's going to stand out. And maybe after nine games, or I guess it doesn't matter now, but they'll have to make a decision organizationally if they want him playing 27 minutes a night in the American League, which he will, or playing 15, 16, 17 a night in the NHL, and how they want to develop Darnell Nurse. They're going to have to make that decision organizationally. I don't see him stepping in and being a 22, 23-minute defenseman right away in the NHL. That's too much to put on him. So are you better developing as an absolute horse in the minors, playing the kind of minutes you're earmarked to play when you get to the show, or are you better getting there earlier and taking fewer minutes? And that's a fundamental decision the organization is going to have to make, but he might just bull his way onto this roster. I mean, wouldn't surprise me if we're talking about him being ahead of Griffin Reinhardt through training camp, possibly ahead of Andrew Ferentz, despite Andrew being a veteran, and really potentially being the third best left shot defenseman they have in camp behind Karen Klefbom.
It's going to be interesting, Shagar. We will chat with you tomorrow one final time, and then you're off for the summer. So.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. Enjoy the day.